Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 98 for the week of February 8th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Before we dig into the data, I wanted to follow up on something we discussed recently, which is the regulatory freeze that the Biden administration has imposed on regulations that were finalized late in the Trump administration. One of the biggest targets, most people predicted, including me, would be the Department of Labor's final rule on when workers could be classified as independent contractors under the Fair Labor Standards Act. This, of course, is a big issue in the trucking industry. In fact, on Friday, the department's wage and hour division postponed the effective date of the rule, which had been scheduled for March 8th, until May 7th, and at the same time requested further comments on the rule by February 24th. If you're interested in commenting or to read the rule, you can go to regulations.gov and search the docket number, which is WHD-2020-0007. In a related action, the Labor Department on January 19th, which is the last full day of the Trump administration, had issued an opinion letter stating that a motor carrier's requirement that owner-operators install and use certain safety monitoring technologies does not constitute control for the purpose of determining classification. And since then, the Biden administration has withdrawn that opinion and several others and explicitly said that it is premature because the opinion is based on a final rule that has not taken effect. Okay, let's move on, talk about the spot market. Load volume in the truckstop.com system was already at an all-time high, so the small gain of 1.6% during the week ended February 5th, which is week 5 of the year, resulted in the third weekly volume record of 2021. Total load volume was more than double the same 2020 week and was 163% higher than the 5-year average. Truck postings were down 2.7%, and the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system, rose to just below the level recorded during the first week of 2021, and that was the second highest ever. Dry van load volume edged up 0.8% week over week. Dry van loads were about 128% higher than the same week last year. Refrigerated loads were the star of the week, rising 13% to the strongest level in 5 weeks. Refrigerated volume was up about 91% year over year. And flatbed loads declined for the first time in 7 weeks, but only barely so. Volume was down just 0.3% from the prior week's all-time high. Flatbed volume was just over double that in the same 2020 week. Okay, let's wrap up spot market discussion with rates. The broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, increased about 2 cents. Rates are about 34% above the same 2020 week and about 29% higher than the 5-year average. Dry van rates were up 6 cents, which is the strongest gain in 7 weeks, and are about 46% higher year over year. Refrigerated rates were up a little more than 4 cents and were almost 37% higher than the same week last year. Flatbed rates were basically unchanged and were about 33% higher year over year. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. West Texas Intermediate crude is now trading at around $57 a barrel, which is the highest price since January. But the bigger news is diesel. The national average price of on-highway diesel jumped 6.3 cents during the week ended February 8th. That's the largest one-week gain in diesel prices since September 2019. The rising streak is now 14 weeks, and during that period, diesel is up just under 33 cents, or 43 cents, I'm sorry, or about 18%. For the record, the current price is $2.80.1, and that's the highest price since the week ended March 9th of last year. Okay, the principal topic of discussion this week is the jobs report for January, but before we launch into that, let's wrap up our weekly data on a closely related topic, which of course is the situation with unemployment. The number of people receiving unemployment benefits is falling modestly. Initial claims for benefits in state programs during the week ended January 30th were down slightly to 779,000, seasonally adjusted. That's the lowest level since late November. Continued claims in state programs fell by 193,000 to 4.6 million, which is the lowest level since the beginning of the pandemic. And after wild swings in the two federally funded unemployment benefit programs, continued claims were down by more than 400,000 combined week over week to 10.8 million. And that's the lowest since late May. Okay, let's get to the jobs report. The U.S. economy added payroll jobs in January, but not a lot. Payroll employment was up 49,000, seasonally adjusted in January. The only solid gains really were in professional and business services, and especially one sector we'll talk about in a few minutes, and in government. For the most part, the rest of the economy saw modest declines or weak growth. The big losers were leisure and hospitality, retail trade, and healthcare, suggesting that the pandemic's effect on consumer behavior is largely to blame for the weakness. Now, remember, the January report actually reflects activity that's between basically mid-December and mid-January, and that means that the latest wave of the pandemic was basically peaking just as the Bureau of Labor Statistics was gathering the data. On top of the weak growth in January, BLS revised the initial December data downward. So instead of the 140,000 job loss that was in the preliminary data, BLS said that payroll employment actually fell by seasonally adjusted 227,000. So if you take December and January together, we've actually moved slightly backwards. As of January, payroll employment is still 9.9 million jobs, or 6.5%, below the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. The unemployment rate did improve from 6.7% to 6.3%, but one factor was a reduction of the labor force by about 400,000. On the other hand, total U.S. employment, as reflected in the household survey, which captures both payroll and non-payroll employment, was up by 200,000. I should point out that the figures on total employment do come from a different survey, the household survey, than the one that BLS uses to estimate payroll employment, which is called the establishment survey. So sometimes they don't actually match up because it's a different sample. One thing I found interesting is that the industry with the single largest seasonally adjusted gain, more than 80,000 jobs, was temporary employment agencies. So is that because people can't get permanent workers or because they don't want permanent workers? It's probably a little bit of both, but I think the bigger issue is that with the pandemic raging, there was considerable uncertainty, and uncertainty encourages temporary arrangements. Something else worth noting is that the temp agency data says something about seasonally adjusted data that we always know, but we don't really think about. On a unadjusted basis, payrolls fell by 183,000 in temp agencies. So how does a decline of 183,000 turn into a gain of more than 80,000? Well, for one thing, we usually see a bigger reduction in the absolute number of temp workers from December to January, which of course makes sense because there's a lot of temp work brought on during the holidays. The 10-year average unadjusted decline in January from December is 240,000 jobs, so a decline of 183,000 jobs is pretty good. Okay, let's move on and talk specifically about transportation of goods, which recently has generated solid job growth. That was not the case in January, however. For-hire trucking lost 2,900 jobs seasonally adjusted. That's the first decline since April. Payrolls are down 49,400 jobs, or 3.2% since February. Now, the question here, of course, is, was there flagging demand for drivers, or was the supply particularly tight? I don't think that's clear. I think, basically, if we look at January data, again, half that data reflects the holidays. It reflects a period of time where the pandemic was, you know, arguably the worst it has been during the entire, 11 months. So my big takeaway on January is to not worry too much about January. I guess it's like Fight Club. The first rule of January job data is we don't talk about it, except that I guess I've been spending all of this time doing so. Well, you got to cover the numbers, right? In any event, until we see the February data and see whether that is a trend or whether January was a blip, I'm not going to get too worked up over it. But it does suggest potentially that the jobs that we added fairly strongly in the fourth quarter, August through November, was perhaps low-hanging fruit, and now we're running into a problem because we have not been generating new drivers at the rate we need to, and because the labor participation rate in the U.S. isn't really recovering. One other point I want to make is that the January data reflects annual revisions. It's called annual benchmarking. And basically, this happens every year, hence annual. BLS revises data going back several years, in this case, going back to 2016. And in many cases, the changes are minor. And for hire trucking, those changes were pretty small. However, as we'll discuss in a moment, within the goods transportation sector, that is not universally true. By the way, I typically talk about data for the entire truck transportation sector. BLS does report more granular data, but it lags by a month, so I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to it. However, since that more detailed data now runs through December, that seemed like a good time to include some charts in the presentation deck that show general freight, specialized freight, long distance, local, truckload, LTL, and so on. You can download the deck again at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Okay, moving on to couriers and messengers, or less formally, parcel and local delivery. It was down 13,700 jobs in January. We're not used to that, but December figures also were revised down sharply from a gain of more than 37,000 jobs to a loss of nearly 31,000. The data here is probably very volatile, and of course we have a rapidly changing situation in terms of where people buy goods. That was probably especially so this last year. So it's not too surprising that we will see some significant revisions during this period. And you'll recall a minute or so ago, I mentioned an annual revision. The latest data for much of 2019 and 2020 for couriers and messengers is stronger. Now, one consequence of that is that the huge growth year over year, or relative to February that I've been highlighting in the podcast for months, is now not quite as strong, but that's only because the base is now stronger. For example, rather than parcel and local delivery employment being up 27% since February, as it had been in the initial December report, it's now up 15.5% relative to February. But that is still the strongest percentage growth of any U.S. industry by far. Finally, let's talk about warehousing and storage. The revisions here were quite large, as you will see if you download the presentation deck. The updated unemployment level for February was 147,000 jobs, or 11% higher than the initial data. And that's got to be part of the annual revision, as probably was the December change for couriers and messengers. So warehousing and storage employment dipped 1.2% in January, but it is still far higher than it would have been under what we would have seen if the prior data had held. Even though 2019 and 2020 figures were substantially higher than as they were reported in December, the warehousing and storage employment levels are up 7.3% versus February of last year, and warehousing and storage ranks number 5 of all U.S. industries in terms of percentage growth. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot market volume edged higher, setting another record. Diesel prices rose sharply in the latest week. Unemployment improved in the latest week. The U.S. economy added 49,000 payroll jobs in January. The unemployment rate fell to 6.3%. For-hire trucking posted its first job decline since April. And jobs in parcel and local delivery and in warehousing and storage are stronger than we thought a month ago. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 98 for the week of February 8th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.